From the Land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of August, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, ProFarmer has released its national numbers based off the crop tour figures. We'll talk with Lane Acree. We'll turn our attention to the marketplace with Mike Zuzula, GlobalComResearch.com, and then we'll get an update on the weather forecast, too. We'll do that with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day at 411 and a half, a quarter lower. The March at 428 and three quarters, down one. November beans at 1058 and a half, up 2.5 cents. January, $10.77, up 3.25 cents. Bean meal at dime lower, the bean oil $1.20 higher, and soft red winter wheat in the December at 527 and a quarter, down 2.5 cents. As you know, we've been following the ProFarmer crop tour all week. Lane Acree now joins us. He's the economist at ProFarmer. Thank you, Lane, for being with us and for all the work that you did throughout the week on the eastern leg of the tour and behind the scenes across all of it. You have, along with Chip Flory and a few others, tallied what all those routes meant and then did some massaging on them and came up with some national numbers as it relates to yields. Corn is the easier one for you to come up with, I suppose, because you actually have a corn yield. Soybeans a little tougher because you really only have pod counts, but you need to convert that. What kinds of things did you find when you finally put it all together?
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be mine this week. It's been a great experience. For our national numbers on corn, we finished with production at 16.204 billion bushels. That's an average yield of 182.7 bushels to the acre. We have a 1% deviation on either side of that that encompasses our range. The top end is 184.5 bushels per acre, and the bottom end is 180.9. One of the key factors that went into that was the amount of disease that we saw in the Western Corn Belt. It's the anticipation of the impact on ear weights that that's going to have. Some of this crop's likely going to see maturation pretty quickly, and that could really just lower that grain fill period, shorten it, and just really weigh on test weights. Last year, we saw record test weights, and that helped boost the national average up to 179.3. On soybeans, we got production at 4.246 billion bushels. That's an average yield of 53 bushels an acre. We use a 2% range on beans, 2% to the upside, 2 to the downside. That gives us a top end of 54.1 bushels and the bottom end of 51.9. There's a lot of pods out there.
There are a lot of pods out there, and the scouts were flabbergasted, I think, in most places as they were counting those up. I do need to follow up on the corn number with you just a bit. When you were putting that together, did you have a working number for how big you think the crop is at the moment and then calculated back from that for how much weight you think might be lost because of the disease?
Well, there's a lot of factors to consider. So USDA, NAS, they did their surveys late July, early August, and that was a snapshot in time that gave them their 188.8. And our snapshot in time showed the downside, and the trend has been to the downside, and the increase in disease pressure has been coming up all over the place. It's kind of working its way north from what we found, but the eastern side of the Corn Belt was just plagued with disease and some early maturation. And, you know, generally, we're, of course, we're sampling some of the best crops in the country. And we take that into pretty heavy consideration as well.
So you're at a 182 plus as a snapshot in time today, giving really no changes but the disease progressing then.
We take into consideration the weather as well and other areas in the country, too, that we don't sample. We take those into consideration.
Lane, thank you much. I appreciate it. And we look forward to talking with you again sometime soon.
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
Lane Acree is with ProFarmer. Joined us on this Friday afternoon with the numbers. You can find them in more detail if you'd like at ProFarmer.com or go to our website at willag.com. mikezuzlo.org, Mike Zuzlo, globalcomresearch.com. Out of Atchison, Kansas, you just heard those numbers, 182.7 bushels to the acre for corn. Mr. Acree says that's because of the disease issues that they found. And soybeans at 53 bushels to the acre. What's your initial assessment?
Well, I think, you know, from a trade perspective, Todd, I think the trade has been in the mindset that the corn yield was going to be higher versus pro farmer in the pro farmer numbers versus soybeans. And so I'd say pro farmer gave us the opposite of that with a higher soybean number, much higher, in fact, given what the USDA gave us on corn. So be interesting to see. Beans have been the leader to the upside. I think they'll still be the leader to the upside because it's still a weather market when it's all said and done. But I think corn could, I think, maybe join up very easily or much more easily with the beans if they want to go up another leg in next week's price action. I don't see anything negative in these numbers at all, because I think even the 53 bushel bean yield number gives you the idea, I think, that with the disease pressure you just mentioned. They also talked about rain deficits in Ohio to finish the crop. They talked about, you know, 22-year highs in soybean pod counts in Iowa and Minnesota. But they also talked about how there is, you know, some need to finish this crop strong. So I think the trade will look at these numbers fairly friendly because they were very, I think, very nervous about the corn number going into them.
Admittedly, year in and year out, we follow this. And the trade follows the numbers, but rarely reacts to the numbers. This feels like a set of numbers that Sunday night's going to get some attention.
I couldn't agree more. And I think what you hit upon, Todd, is the notes I wrote on Thursday and Friday before the numbers came out was, I like to hear what's on the tour because it supports or negates what I am seeing in the fields and what my clients are seeing in the fields. And I don't look as much at the final numbers because it's a calculation. This, as you said, seems to work into the disease pressure in the Western Corn Belt, the tip back in Illinois, the rain deficits in Ohio potentially. And so the rhetoric and the anecdotal evidence in this week's tour seems to have flowed into the final yield number. And I don't remember very often when that happens on a Friday afternoon. So I think this will be a very good test case to see, is this time different because maybe they moved their model a little bit and changed their model a little bit to integrate the next 2 weeks or what's happened since the end of July to the middle of August.
Tell me what you've seen in the marketplace this week and what you're watching.
A lot of noise in the markets, especially on Thursday and Friday because of the EPA. So we're going to need to work through the EPA update. It's good that they gave us an update on the RINs and on the exemptions, but we still have a lot more to find out and uncover. A weekly closes soft red wheat lower for the fifth week in a row. We really need to change that dynamic if we want, I think, a long-term low in this market. Where do we get that from? I think we still get that from Russia and what's going on with the Russia-Ukraine peace talks or no peace talks. And so those are the top of the list. But I would, as like most mid-August time periods, heading to the Farm Progress show on Tuesday, I'm very excited to come over and take a look at everything and see you and all the locals there. But it's really, I think, much about the weather. So watching that 6 to 10 day forecast on Monday morning.
I'm looking forward to having you on stage in the University of Illinois tent at 10 o'clock. It should be a good chat that you and I, and we'll have a lot to talk about, I think. it feels like we're just going to have a lot to talk about on Tuesday. I hope people drop by. I'm pretty sure they will. The weather just looks like it's going to be magnificent. When you come in the main gate at Farm Progress Show, if you turn to the right, the University of Illinois tent, you cannot miss the big College of Aces banner on the end of it. It's only a block and a half down, so it can be one of your first stops. But come back at 10 o'clock. Mike and I'll be up on stage talking about the commodity markets. I think Joe Jansen should be there too, Farm Doc team member, ag economist. So do check out, I'll take a moment here just to plug this as well. Look at our website in the calendar because we have a very busy stage presence with a lot of really heavy hitters up on stage. And I think many of you will want to stop by and hear what they have to say. So check those out. It's there at willag.org. Scroll down. you'll see in red the stage itself and what's happening. But if you click on that event, you'll see who's on the panels for each of those. So click on it, it'll open it up, and you'll be able to see who's on the panel. And if you'll click on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, you'll see Mike Zuzulo's name. Okay, Mike, so we have a 53 bushel number for soybeans. What does that mean to you exactly? I know you're very interested in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this goes back to, you know, I changed my numbers about a week ago, barring no drought, and I went from 182 plus to 184 plus, gave my first bean number out here today at 52.5. That compares to 50.7 last year by USDA. Those numbers can go back down again if we stay dry another 10 days. So I think that's really what it's all about. I would be disappointed if the trade took the 53 number on Friday as bearish or price negative because of what we're looking at in the weather in terms of trimming yield and that disease pressure. Clearly, the disease is showing up more from the pro farmer numbers in the corn versus the soybeans. But there's some issues out there in the beans from what I'm hearing as well.
It'll be interesting. Boris Camilletti will be up. And I did write Boris a note about the disease. He's a plant pathologist here on campus at the University of Illinois and asked him what he and his colleagues across the land grant system were talking about as it's related disease. He said Northern Illinois had it. I think probably he's not banged the warning bell. He did as soon as it entered the state. To be sure to watch out for it. That was, I want to say, July 4 weekend or something like that. But that Iowa was really ridden, and we heard about that throughout the week this week. Though, admittedly, there's not a lot to know about Southern Rust and corn other than it does a number on it and can. I don't know how far along the corn has to be before it stops doing a number on it.
And I think producers have already told me this week between the Southern Rust and also the tar spot that they're having to hit another fungicide application potentially. And it's very difficult to spend the money at these margins right now. And it's a very tough decision to make.
Indeed it is. We'll talk all about that on Tuesday. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with GlobalCommResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Let's check the weather forecast now with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agribol. Did you travel again this week, or have you been mostly back in our area?
Well, I've been in our area, but I've been over in Indiana twice and went over to Springfield yesterday. And so that's close enough to home that I'd call it our area. But it was actually a good trip, Todd. I got to see quite a bit of this part of the Corn Belt and kind of following the Pro Farmer Tour through that area. I was very curious to hear their numbers. But I'll tell you this, as I went over to Indiana, the top thing that I was getting asked about is the hot nights. Mm-hmm. And I looked at some of the data going back to 1981 and wanted to compare the number of nights we had over 70 degrees Fahrenheit, especially in the Eastern Corn Belt, to that average. And since I was in and around Indianapolis, I remember the number. There's been 27 additional. So this is compared to average, but 27 additional nights compared to average that have had a low temperature above 70. And then you can add that. I mean, look farther to the south into Kentucky. It's like 35. And so these very, very warm nights, I think, have got a lot of folks concerned about the quality of the crop in that area. But that same problem is not prevalent back farther to the west. Now, we have not had a hot summer, like record hot. We've had a top 30, but it's not been, you know, what we would call, you know, encroaching on the ridiculous kind of heat. But that being said, in Champaign, where we are, I've got us at 190 stress degree days on the year. So that means 140 is generally thought to be kind of a cutoff, where if you get beyond that, you start to see a drop in yield for the I states on corn. So we went past it, and it'll be, you know, interesting to see what kind of local numbers look like around here. Now, you know, the research that tells me that 140 is the cutoff, that was done back in 2013. A lot has changed since then with respect to seed technology and whatnot. But yeah, I'm telling you all this, Todd, because hey, weather's absolutely spectacularly cool now. In fact, last night I was over in Rantoul. I kind of wish I would have had a jacket on while I watched my son play soccer. And now, what a contrast from what it was just a week ago.
You know, I have to say, if we're, because we're in the middle of Grainville, with these cool nights, if we just had an inch, a widespread inch, it would add 20 bushels to the crop.
I can't give you that, Todd. Well, I'm sorry, but
can you give it to me on my farm?
I'll just drag my hose over there.
Okay. Well,
no, unfortunately, it is drier. But, you know, these last few mornings, as the temperatures have bottomed out, there has been a, you know, pretty healthy dew. And that's going to go a long way, too, because we're not cranking the temps up so hot in the afternoon that we're evaporating all of it quickly. But you're right. We need one more hit of rain. And unfortunately, the best rains are going to be out into like the hard red winter wheat belt over the next 2 weeks. We're going to be pretty dry around here for a while. And that's, you know, everybody's telling me the same thing. I just need one more. Just give me one more good rain and my beans will fill. I'll have better, you know, we'll kind of stop the bleed on the corn. And I'm like, we're going to have to wait or hope that the pattern breaks sooner than I thought. But again, the flip side of this, at least we're not pouring on the heat in addition to the cooler weather, or excuse me, in addition to the drier weather as we go forward.
The rains in the hard red winter wheat belt, are they far north and enough north into Kansas that they'll get the Kansas-Nebraska line? And do they go much further north, and how far to the east?
Yeah, they go, well, this is a big question. You think about Missouri and Arkansas. I know that's out of the wheat belt, but that particular part of the Mid-South needs a lot of rain. I have the northern extent of these rains getting into southern Nebraska, the western extent getting all the way back through Colorado into New Mexico, the heaviest rains in Kansas. And I was just talking to a grower down there. He's like, oh, this is exactly what we need. Bring up all the weed pressure now so that we can kill it and then plant the crop so we're not competing against those weeds at the same time we sow the crop later. And so they're all pretty happy out there with the forecast. And many people are like, hey, just bring that rain a little farther to the east, because drought has expanded in the Delta, it's expanded in the Mid-South, it's expanded in the Eastern Corn Belt, it's expanded all the way into the Northeast. And that is the same quarter over which I don't have a lot of rain coming in the next 10 to 15 days.
Yeah, you know, if you call him in 3 weeks, he'll tell you, please stop the rain. Yeah. I want to sow my winter wheat crop. So he's only happy for a moment.
That's right. That's right. Same with every farmer in Illinois, too.
Every farmer around the nation. Yeah. I can remember my wife asking me when we first were married, she said, are your brothers ever happy with the weather? I was like, well, not for very long. No.
But
there are good years. There are. And this is, regardless of what's happened, this has been a good year. The crop is a big one out there and will be a record one. It may not be as big as USDA put it to begin with, but it sure looks like it's going to be a record one. What else are you watching in the weather that we need to pay attention to?
Yeah, Todd, you and I over the next, I'd say about like 7 months, okay? we yes. will be talking about La Nina, just because it is right now influencing the wind pattern. We've got pretty strong trade winds. We've also seen a lot of cool water upwell. And so we're going to start to ask ourselves, are we going to get a typical La Nina fall and winter, which typical is a little drier than average, not too bad. That's good for harvest. And then we tend to get into a winter where, and I know you know what I'm going to say, active Ohio River Valley storm track, right? We've said that 4 out of the last 5 winters that you and I have talked, because 4 out of the last 5 have had La Ninas. So it was only 2023 into 2024 that didn't. So that's going to be a big story. But Todd, honestly, as we peel off our harvest and start to get into our winter timeframe, all attention is going to go to South America. And some of the current forecasts are bringing in the monsoonal rains a bit early, which is kind of a slap in the face knowing what's been going on with, you know, just our markets and the size of the U.S. crop. So we need those models to be wrong, to be honest, for everybody listening. It would be a benefit to U.S. crops if the rains were delayed and we had to cover that export, you know, the export markets during that time. But as it stands, it looks as though South America might get off to a good start.
Did you happen to find out when they're able to start planting yet?
I didn't. I asked Matt Bennett yesterday. I asked Arlen Suderman. I was asking all my heavy hitters, and so many of them are so focused on what's going on in the U.S. They're like, well, I haven't even looked. I don't know.
I tried to look just now, and I don't see it. So it's probably, there's a date. We just haven't figured out what it is
right.
yet.
It'll be either next weekend or 2 weekends after that.
Yeah, one of the two. It is now upon us, and so we'll turn our gaze that direction. Especially if it's dry here for the fall and there's not a lot to talk about as it's related to harvest delays. So We'll be talking about Brazil and that crop soon enough. Thank you, and I appreciate you taking the time with me again today.
Yeah, you bet.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Agrible joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world. If you can stay with us for the whole of the hour, you'll hear all of our Commodity Week program. Otherwise, many of these radio stations will carry it over the weekend, and it's up online at WILLAG.org right now.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons in Mansfield, Illinois. Dave Chatterton is here with Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. And we're joined by Kurt Kimmel of AgMarket.net in Normal, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. And next week, we'll be at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur. Our Commodity Week programs run daily at 10 o'clock. The Farm Doc team is there at 11:30, and the crop scientists are with us on stage in the University of Illinois tent at 11 a.m. The full schedule is online at willag.org. Check it each day. We have many folks that will be dropping by, and we'd like to see you there as well. Again, the calendar, all in red in the calendar. You'll find what's happening in the University of Illinois tent each and every day at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur. Let's begin with Kurt Kimmel, who will be making his way to the Farm Progress Show next week. Thank you very much for doing that. This week, however, we need to talk about the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, which took place. By the time this airs, we'll have the final numbers from Pro Farmer, which will be their national and statewide numbers. They differ widely from what you see on the Crop Tour because they do a lot of adjustments. However, what do you think of the numbers that have been coming out of Crop Tour to this point?
Well, the bean pod counts are just huge. May have to go ahead and finish off good shape. We have a fairly larger bean crop. On that, there is some sudden death, stem rot. The thing on some of these fungus and diseases that are a little earlier than usual, if it was a little later here in September, but, you know, it can maybe take a little bit off the top. But the biggest observation probably is in the corn, that southern rust. And watching some of the videos, and I don't think they were AI altered, but some of those participants come out orange and there's heavy rust. I'm not quite for sure. Some of those participants went to the hardware store to get some WD-40 to spray the shuck to loosen it up to count the kernels. I mean, I was really surprised how thick that is, particularly in Iowa. So let's, you know, see how that unfolds in through here. Guys are really testing the fungicide here on longevity of it and whether they sprayed or not. The other thing too is I heard some guys went a little heavier on population, so the ear counts are fairly good in some areas. And the bottom line is we still have a little bit of time here. We'll just have to see how the crop finishes out.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net, joined us for our Commodity Week program recorded Thursday afternoon. You may hear it up online right now at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. Our other panelists included Brian Stark of the Andersons and Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing. Many of these radio stations will carry it over the weekend as well. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget to visit us at the Farm Progress Show next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the University of Illinois tent. You can check out all the details of what's up on stage there online at WILLAG.org right now. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.